Here's your sign. So they are been out fishing, and they caught a whole mess of fish, and they're bringing them back to the dock, and they're getting ready to clean them, and somebody saw all this fish, and they said, catch all those fish? He says, nope, we just surrounded them, talked them into giving up. Here's your sign. Now, this one's going back. How many of you have been in a phone booth in a long, long time? And like, has it been 5 years, 10 years? You know, it's been a long way back, but it's still good, so I have to share it with you. Says he's in a phone booth. He's trying to make a phone call. Guy comes up, taps on the glass, and he opens the door. He says, yes. He says, you on the phone? He looked at him and said, nope, Superman, just looking for my costume. Here's your sign. Here's one of my favorite ones. How many of you have to go to the hospital and hate waiting for the elevator? This guy, I hate waiting for the elevator. It seems to take forever, and if you ever go to Oak Hill, it seems like one of them's broken most time anyway, so I end up taking the stairs. But says he was waiting at an elevator. Guy comes up and says, this one go up? He looked at him deadpan and said, nope, side to side. If you want the one that goes up and down, that's down the hall. Here's your sign. Another one of my favorite ones says that, how many of you have ever locked your keys in the car and had to get the coat hanger to, well, here's the locksmith. Yeah, he made a living off of you people who locked your keys in the car. But the old-fashioned way when we were kids was you got a coat hanger and you ran it through and we're trying to get down and you know, jimmy the lock up. So he's got this coat hanger and he's trying to get to the lock. Guy comes up, says, locked your keys in the car? He looked at him and says, nope, just washed it, get ready to hang it up to dry. Here's your sign. Well, throughout history, people have been looking for a sign of the Messiah. What most people don't know, because on this side of the resurrection, we know who the Messiah is and we don't have to worry about it. But even since that time, there have been many other people who have claimed to be the Messiah. There are many would-be Messiahs. Many of them were persecuted. Many of them were hung. But nothing came out of it. And so we know they're not the right ones. But the people, the Israelites, had been looking for over 1,000 years for the right signs. They've been looking. How do we know that this one's claiming, this one's claiming, this one's claiming? How do we know which one is the right one? Well, there was many signs when Jesus was born. There was the star, there were the shepherds and the angel who came and said, you will go into Bethlehem and you will find him wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. Well, there was probably other babies in Bethlehem. Probably no other babies in Bethlehem in a manger. A manger is the hay trough for the animals to feed in. And if you remember the story, that's where he ended up because there was no room at the inn. So they ended up in the stable and there was no place to lay him. There was no crib. His family was traveling. They were going back into Bethlehem. And so the only place they had was to lay him in a manger. And the angel said to the shepherds, good news of great joy, for today in the city of David is born a Savior. And here's your sign that you will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then as he grew, he had to be different than other children. And there are many stories about that. And some of them are recorded in the Bible, some of them not. Some when he was in 12 and he was left behind in the temple. And he was either grilling or instructing the rabbis. We're not exactly sure what was going on. But all we know is the rabbis were amazed at what he knew. And so it was another sign. And then finally, his mother ask him, come on, it's time. You're an adult now. It's time to let the whole world know who you are. Change this water into wine. And he does it for his mother. And it was another sign. Then he called the disciples and then he began his ministry and he did all kinds of miraculous healings. There were signs all along the way. And yet the people still didn't believe. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, how many signs is it going to take? You know, we have more on Jesus than any other person who's ever lived in history by thousands. If here's what we have on all the other people of history, then Jesus would take up the rest of this stage. because we have more on Jesus the Christ. Question is, what's it going to take for the world? And yet, even when he did these signs, the people who didn't want to, whose heads were hard, whose hearts were hardened, they didn't get it. They didn't understand, and they refused to believe. So let's take a look at our passage today. It's coming from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. It's entitled The Triumphal Entry. So he's been doing ministry for 3 years. He's been doing all these incredible things. He's been doing miraculous signs. He's been healing people. The deaf can hear. The dumb can speak. The lame are able to walk again. He even raised Lazarus to life. You know, it's pretty hard to do that, okay? Maybe you can fake some of the other things, but this one, you can't fake a dead man coming to life. If you remember the story, Jesus knew that he was dying and waited until he was dead for 3 days. So there couldn't be any question about what he was about to do. And when he went, he called him to come forth, and Lazarus was alive. Now, I want you to think about this. So Bethany, Jesus is at Bethany. He's been anointed by Mary. He's there with Lazarus, who's been resurrected. And all the people are starting to clamor. They're starting to come around and say, who is this guy who can even bring people back from the dead? And so they're asking the question, could it be? Is it possibly? This is our sign. This is the Savior. And so he prepares to go into Jerusalem. He's preparing for the Passover. And through the diaspora, many of the Jews had been scattered throughout many nations. But for the Passover, they would all start coming back home. They would come back into Jerusalem for the Passover. And so you can imagine there was probably over 1 million people gathered in Jerusalem. It was just packed. And yet, listen to what Jesus does. So let's take a look. Jesus being the triumphal entry, John chapter 12, starting with verse 12. The next day, the great crowd had come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches. That's why we had our children out today. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. And at first his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. And now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard the sign that he had given, a miraculous sign, went out to meet him. And so the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, so let's take a look at our outline today. So Jesus riding on a donkey. So we even have from other gospels, we have the understanding that Jesus had made this preparation in ahead. He had sent his disciples. He knew exactly where this was. And it was to be a donkey that had never been ridden on before. That's why it's called the colt of a donkey. It's a young donkey. And he goes and he sends his disciples. And then he climbs aboard it. It's the only time he's ever, if you will, taken the high road. Because they walked everywhere they went. It was royalty that had something to ride on. And so this is number one, it was a sign of a king. When Jesus came riding in on a donkey, it was the sign of the king. The king either came riding in on a donkey or riding in on a mighty steed. So the prophets had told of a coming king of Judah and the line of David. The Magi traveled thousands of miles because they'd seen a star, a sign in the sky. King Herod killed the baby boys under age 2 because he believed in the sign. Jesus had been teaching, preaching, and healing for 3 years. And inquiring minds want to know, is this it? So you can imagine that each time he's done a miracle, a few more kind of gather along. And his crowd is growing to this big crescendo, and they're gathering to see Lazarus. And could somebody really come back from the dead? This is an incredible guy. Maybe so. I also want to remind you that they were under oppression. They were under Roman rule at this time. And what they expected was a king to come, throw the other king out, and then they would be free once more to be the people of God and not be under oppression. That's the kind that they were looking for. And yet he came in riding on a donkey. Number two is that it was a sign of peace. You see, if it's a time of war, how many of you remember Braveheart? And with him riding up and down and rallying the troops, and he's got that horse going in a fevered pitch, and he's rising up and he's rallying the troops, and they're all screaming behind him, yeah, let's go do this. Let's, you know, peace, whatever the cost. And so he's rallying the troops. That's what the kings would do, as they would come with their pomp and their circumstance, and they would rally the people to a rallying cry, to a fevered pitch, because they were going into war. But instead, when he comes riding in on a donkey, it is a sign of peace. And it's fulfilling the prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. And that's the other thing. How can you be born in Bethlehem? Yeah. Can you have the name Jesus or Yeshua? Yes, you can do that. You know, was it the right timing? Was it of the right lineage of David? How many of the prophecies did he fulfill in the case for Christ? Lee Strobel says that he fulfilled over 300. But listen to this one. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey." And so as he's coming into Jerusalem, you can imagine the crowds are building. Many of them are throwing their coats down. That's what you did for a king, a sign of humility. You wouldn't want him to be dirty. You wouldn't want him to get in any kind of mud. You would protect him. You would pave the way. And then they would get the palm fronds. Lots of palms, lots of rocks over there, okay? So they would gather palm fronds. And it was a sign of victory. It was a sign of royalty. It was a sign of their homage to the king. And they were shouting, "Hosanna, save us." But the very clear sign, there were so many people that there was no way that he could have addressed the crowd and said, "Yep, it's me. Here's your sign." So what he did was he climbed onto the donkey and he rode into town. As people saw him, then the crowds began to gather deeper and deeper and deeper, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." But the clear sign to them was, yes, he is claiming to be king. Don't you know the disciples were just frustrated? If you're the king, just tell us. If you're the king, just tell everybody. Let's go ahead. Let's get the rallying cry. Let's get it going. But Jesus didn't do that because they knew that they wanted a political king. They wanted a king for a few years. And what he was going to be was an eternal king. And what he was also doing when he came riding on the donkey, saying that I'm a king of peace. And if you remember back at his birth and the angels and their telling said, good news of great joy, peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was a sign of peace because he was the Christ. Because he is the Messiah. It's a sign to all the people that they have been separated from God by sin. And yet, no matter how they try to follow the law, try to do all the things right, they could never get there on their own. And so they needed a Savior. They needed someone. And Jesus said, I'm the guy. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. And it's a sign of peace between man and God. Number three, it was also a sign of humility. It was a sign of humility on Jesus's part. I love in just a couple of days, he sits in the garden and he says, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. He didn't want to do this. He knew exactly what he was in for, and yet he also knew there was no other way. And so our King, our Messiah, our Savior, he bowed down humbly, not my will, but your will be done. And he knew that there was no other way. And that's why we proclaim there's only one way to come into a relationship with God. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. But knowing what it was going to cost him, it's free to us. But it cost him everything. It cost him his life. It cost him the suffering. It cost him a crucifixion, which was the worst way you could die. They nailed him to a cross and put him up there until he couldn't push up anymore, get any more oxygen, until he suffocated to death. And yet the scripture said he did all of this for us. In a few days, they would put him on trial, beat him, and crucify him because they refused to recognize the sign. And Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And so this morning, as we're here on Palm Sunday, it's a mixture of emotions. It's exciting because we're coming into Easter. And for some of you, you're excited because Lent is almost over. And whatever you're fasting, you're giving up. You can look forward to that. But remember, today's a free day anyway. So you get a free day. Because he was resurrected on a Sunday. That's why we worship on a Sunday, is because this day of his resurrection. But I just want to mention just a few of the signs. Jesus, born of a virgin. That's getting harder and harder to do, though many have claimed it. Thank you. All right. Born of a virgin, wrapped in cloths, performed numerous miracles, fulfilled over 300 prophecies, died and rose again. That's getting harder and harder to do, too. For all who follow the signs and accept Jesus Christ as Lord will have eternal life with him forevermore. The question is, how are you doing in your own discipleship? Because on this day of Palm Sunday, the crowds had finally embraced him, but they were kind of embracing him at their own wishes, wills, and desires. And when it turned out he wasn't the kind of Messiah they wanted, they turned on him. And many of the people who were shouting Hosanna on this Sunday were shouting, crucify him. On Friday, crucify him, crucify him. Because they didn't want the kind of Messiah. The important thing is, I love it when I hear people say, well, my God this, and my God that. And it's kind of like, well, you can have whatever kind of God you want. That's the Disneyland God. It's the God of your imagination. But what we have to do is take the Savior as he has revealed himself to us. And we're on the other side of things where we can put all these things together. We have the scripture. We have the history. This isn't a storybook. This isn't a fable book. It's the history that God has put together over thousands of years, all of it perfectly weaving together to tell the story of humanity and of mankind, of our Creator, and how we can come to be with him forever and ever and ever. So I want to present to you, here's your sign. The question is, what will you do with this? So number four is, choose this day whom you will serve. Will you be fickle like the crowd, cheering 1 minute and when he appears as you want him to be? And the moment it gets tough, the moment he doesn't do what we want him to do, do we just turn and walk away, mumbling under our breath, crucify him? Crucify him. John 20:29. Thomas. We love Thomas. He's called Doubting Thomas for a reason. Now, I also want to remind you, before Jesus went into Bethany to raise Lazarus, sometimes Thomas gets a little bit of a hard shake because we just know him as Doubting Thomas. And yet, Thomas said, if he's going to go back, I'm going to go back with him. And he said, even if we have to die. So Thomas was willing to die for Jesus. And yet they were all trying to wrap their minds around it and to understand that this really is the Christ and the Messiah. It even says in our scripture today that even the disciples, after 3 years, didn't really get it. I want to ask you, some of you, you've been more in the church than more than 3 years, and we're still getting on board. And so we have this understanding, and yet we understand why it was so hard for them. For Thomas, he just couldn't believe that one who'd been crucified and suffered as they saw him do, 3 days later was alive. And so he told the other disciples, he said, unless I see the nail holes in his hand and put my finger into his side, he says, I will not believe. A few days later, Jesus appeared to him and said, hello, Thomas. Put your fingers into the holes of my hand. Feel the hole in my side. And when he sees, then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Jesus turned to him and said, blessed are you, for you have seen and believed. Even more blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. My friends, that's most of us. We haven't seen, but we have everything here. We have all the signs. Here's your sign. The question is today, what will you do with it? Will you truly accept him as Lord and Savior?